Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
The talk, bringing you center stage for tonight's topic, Talking with Lindsay Williams. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. If you have not heard the name Lindsay Williams, you soon will know a lot about him. Mr. Williams was a chaplain on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline for 3 years during its construction phase. The Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline is the biggest and most expensive project ever undertaken by a private enterprise in the history of the world. Lindsay Williams is also the author of 6 books, 2 of which became bestsellers. He has been a Baptist minister for some 50 years. But because of his position as chaplain, he was offered executive status with Alyeska's pipeline service company in an advisory capacity and sat in on board meetings with the elitist of the world for 3 years, which gave him access to people who tell the president what to do, dictate to Congress what bills to pass, tell the Arabs what the price of a barrel of crude oil will be on any given day, and control the currencies of the world. Mr. Williams is with us today to tell us how his connection with these elitists, have granted him knowledge of upcoming events and situations that the rest of us need to be made aware of. His predictions have been so accurate that some have called him a prophet. But before we introduce Mr. Williams, let me begin by introducing my co-host. Good afternoon, AJ. How are you?
Hey, what's up, Carrie? I'm looking forward to this. You know, I need to know what's going on, and if everything's that accurate, I'm just looking forward to the conversation. I think it's off the chain. A Friday night, nice show. It'll be informative for the listeners. I appreciate that.
You know what? It is going to be a good show because I talked off the air with Mr. Williams, and honest to God, some of the information that he's given me so far, I mean, it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up because, I mean, he was privy to all this information that a lot of us would not be made aware of except that he's bringing it forth and forward to us today, so I'm so glad and excited about that. So you ready?
I'm always ready. Let's hit it.
Let's do it. Okay. Well, a reminder, AJ Houston will be manning the chat room tonight. So if you're listening via the internet, go into the chat room, and AJ will be there to assist you in whatever you may need. Another reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or our host. And the last reminder, tomorrow's show, tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time, the Scott sisters are going to be with us. You know them, the ladies that were imprisoned in Mississippi for over 16 years, serving double life sentences each for an $11 robbery. They're going to be with us tomorrow at 3 p.m., but we'll deal with that tomorrow. Well, for right now, let's speak with Mr. Williams. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time here on Center Stage, Mr. Lindsey Williams. Good afternoon, Mr. Williams. How are you?
Carrie, thank you for allowing me the privilege of being on Center Stage for the very first time. I feel honored, and I'm sure I have many friends out there in your listening audience that I've never met before.
Well, you will meet them tonight, and we are privileged and honored to have you with us. You know, since we've talked, there's a lot been going on in the Middle East. And you heard, like everybody else heard today, that Mubarak stepped down. But did you not hear something about something was going to go on in the Middle East months ago?
Kerry, that's correct. In fact, in order for your listeners to be able to understand and comprehend how I can give such things as I'll be giving tonight, this will be probably one of the most startling shows you've ever heard because you're going to hear everything that's going to happen through the year 2012. Now, I know that sounds unusual, but you'll understand why. Let me give just a brief background so that your listeners will know why I can say some of the things I'm going to say. First of all, about a number of years ago, I went to Alaska as an aviation missionary. I had been a pastor of a church 12 years prior to that, the same church for 12 years. And when I arrived in Alaska as a missionary, I heard that they were going to build the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline and that 25,000 pipeliners were going to converge on our state to build America's pipeline from up on the Arctic Ocean. Now, the first thing that came to my mind was 25,000 of the roughest, toughest, cussinest, drinkinest, orneriest folks on the face of the earth, they must need some spiritual guidance. That'd be the first thing a missionary would think about, and I did. And I said, well, I think I'll go to the oil companies and see if they'll allow me to be a chaplain. So I went to Alyeska Pipeline Service Company. That was a consortium of nine major oil companies that were going to build that pipeline. And I said, don't you need a chaplain on the pipeline? Well, they laughed at me. They said, we never had a chaplain on any pipeline in the world. Well, I kept going back and back and back. I guess it paid off because finally they said, okay, we'll give you the Northern Seven work camps and the big oil field up at Prudhoe Bay. Just go up and see what you can do. Well, I did. And about 6 months later, the oil companies came to me and said, Chaplain, we never knew the value of a chaplain on the pipeline before. You are saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees we aren't having to pay. We would like to offer you executive status. Well, I said, what does that mean? They said, go any place you'd like, see anything you want to see, and we would like to invite you to sit in on our board meetings in an advisory capacity in order to help the relationship between management and labor.
Mm-hmm.
Carrie, I had not the slightest idea what was about to happen, because for 3 years' time, I lived in the dorms with, sat across the dinner table from, talked one-on-one with the most powerful, controlling, wealthy people on the face of the earth, the people that you hear about in the World Bank and the IMF, the top oil company officials. They weren't coming to my church. I was on their oil field. Therefore, they talked to me freely. Now, it was an experience that changed my life, because if someone had told me before I went to the pipeline that such people existed, I would have laughed at them. So when you hear some of the things I'm going to say tonight, those out there in the listening audience, please bear with me. I lived this experience, and it changed my life. But if someone had asked me after 3 years of living with these people, do you believe there's a group of people on the face of the earth that control the world, control oil prices, tell both the Arabs and America what to do, dictate to the President and Congress what bills to pass, I would have said, not only do I believe it, I sat and listened to them talk about it. Well, that was many years ago. And for these past 35 years, I have kept in touch with some of these individuals. I guess mainly because I was giving 3 years of my life without the oil companies paying me anything, because remember, I was a missionary, so my religious denomination was paying me. And I guess out of respect for what I did for them, some of these individuals have kept in touch with me on a regular basis. Now, keep in mind, these are the kind of people that if they wrote a check for $1 million every day for the rest of their life, they'd never spend their fortunes. We're not talking about the average person that you would meet in the bank or the bank president or someone that you might rub shoulders with. But this had to have been the providence of God for me to be in that position, because there is no way that a little insignificant, unknown missionary flying airplanes out in the bush of Alaska could have ever sat with the elite of the world except by the providence of God. The things I heard, that they were so phenomenal, I even had trouble believing them. Well, these people have kept in touch with me over these years, and every time they have said anything, I've gone on radio across America and told what they said. And every time, without exception, it has happened exactly like they said it. Because let me assure you, everyone, if there's anyone out there in the listening audience that has ever had any doubts about whether these people exist or not, let me say as emphatically as I can, there positively is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world. They, behind closed doors, know everything that's going to happen in advance. Nothing ever happens by chance. Nothing catches them off guard, and they know exactly what they're going to do. Now, I'm so glad that I said this and actually recorded it on DVDs numbers of months before it happened, because approximately 5 months ago, I was on the phone with one of these individuals, and he let me know that there was going to be a crisis in the Middle East within 4 to 5 months. He did not say what country it was going to be in. He didn't say whether it would be Iran or where. He just merely said there's going to be a crisis in the Middle East within 4 to 5 months. Well, I went on radio shows all over America, and I said, the elite have it planned. There's going to be a crisis in the Middle East, in some country in the Middle East, within the next 4 to 5 months. People thought I was crazy. Of course, we've been expecting for a crisis with Iran for a long time, but never with Egypt. They have had this thing planned for well over a year. I knew about a year ago that something was in the works because of what they said to me. But then 5 months ago, I knew there was going to be some sort of a major crisis. And when Egypt took place, I could see written all over it the finger of the elite of the world. I could see the CIA all over this. Every bit of it was planned and manipulated. They contrived it. and nothing that happened in Egypt within the past 2 or 3 weeks was by chance. It was all known by me, and the elite planned it many, many months ago, Carrie.
Didn't you say that they create problems and then solve them, this group of elitists?
That's correct. They create a problem, and then they create a solution. They do both, and they always do it for their benefit. Now, all of this ties in with some of the things that these people have told me. They have told me where the price of gasoline is going. Now, in order for your listening audience to be able to see the credibility of this, and since some of them may have heard me on other programs, let me go back a little bit and explain another thing that they did that you very readily recognize this. Back about 2.5 years ago, one of these elitists and I were on the phone together, and he said, "Chaplain, the price of crude oil is going to go from $147, where it was at that time, to $50 a barrel. Now, you remember, you were paying about $4 a gallon at the gas pump." And he said, "The price of gasoline is going to go down to $1.50 a gallon." Well, this just couldn't happen. I mean, it would impact OPEC and the oil-producing countries of the world in such a significant manner that it would be catastrophic. But I dared to risk my reputation, and there was some talk show hosts around the country that dared to allow me to go on that program and say something so outlandish. In fact, there were times that people actually laughed at me. And one man who was a Wall Street reporter, one day I was on a program, and he was on the same program, and he said, "Chaplain, you shouldn't say things like this, that crude oil is going to $50 a barrel, and you're going to be paying $1.50 a gallon at the gas pump." He said, "Chaplain, you shouldn't mislead people like that." Well, 3 months went by, and exactly as this gentleman had said it, and you remember it, you then, the listening audience, just think back now. Gas price of gasoline went down to $1.50 a gallon. In some places across America, you were paying $50 a barrel for crude oil. Actually, went down to $34 a barrel. And after it happened, people called me on the phone, and they said, "You're a prophet." I said, "No, I'm not." By the way, let me say emphatically right now, because of some of the things I'm going to say tonight, I am not a prophet. I'm just an ordinary, everyday guy that puts on his britches every morning, just like any man does. It's just that I know the elite. They tell me things, and I say it. And when that happened, everybody said, what you've said. I said, "No, don't give me any credit. Just thank the Lord that I was there and was able to tell you what's happening." Now, there was one individual. You'll especially appreciate this, Gary.
Okay.
There was one individual who plays the futures in the oil market on Wall Street. And he called me up after the price went down to $34 a barrel. And he said, "Chaplain Williams, I want to thank you for telling us what you did." He said, "I took you at your word." He said, "Everybody else was playing the futures as if it was going to $200 a barrel for crude oil." And he said, "Based on what you said the elite told you, I played the futures as if it was going down to $50 a barrel." And he said, "Because of that, I want to thank you for making me $200,000. Well, you see, folks, if you believe, if you will take at face value what the elite are doing, you'll be able to spare yourself heartache. And there's no need in fearing tomorrow. There's no need in losing sleep over what's going to happen in America, because if you will take to heart and do something about it right now, you can spare yourself much heartache.
But
now we come down to Egypt.
Say they tell you what they're going to do before they do it.
Yes, they have told me everything that is going to happen from now through 2012.
But don't
and
they tell the rest
in
of us in buzzwords? We just don't get that. We don't get it when they say it.
Well, they don't necessarily tell the general public. I mean, these people, you might be able to catch sometimes on some news broadcast, you might catch what I call buzzwords. One of the first things that I learned when I lived with the elite of the world was to listen to what they say, because they have certain buzzwords that they tell you what they're going to do. Think, for instance, back, oh my goodness, it's been, let's see, nearly 20 years ago now, George Bush Sr., Daddy Bush, old man now, not our not our former president, but the president many, many years ago, Daddy Bush, you remember he was the first one to ever use the expression New World Order. And at the time he used it, nobody knew what he was talking about. But he did, and all of his elitist friends knew what he was talking about. He also used to use the expression 1,000 points of light. Nobody knew what he was saying, but he did, and he was telling his friends because these were their buzzwords. Sometimes you will catch certain buzzwords that they give, and, of course, I have the privilege of talking with some of them personally. Some things they will tell me, some things they will not tell me, but they basically have told me everything that's going to happen with the crude oil, what's going to happen with government, what will take place with the price of gasoline, where the dollar's going, what's going to happen in the grocery store, to grocery prices, everything imaginable. Over the past year's time, they have told me what their plans are through the year 2012.
Mm. Okay, so what can we expect with the food prices, which we kind of get an indicator that they're going up? How bad is it going to get?
Well, in order to answer the question about food prices, let me go to what they have told me about the dollar.
Okay.
Now, I'm asking everyone there in your listening audience, will you please get a piece of paper and a pencil? I want you to write down the things that the elite have told me one by one. I'll give them to you. And as you write them down, then I want you to take them and post them beside your calendar.
Wow.
And whenever you see these things physically come to pass, don't you dare call up Kerry and say, you have profit on your program. Because, Kerry, if they do that, you tell them, no, Lindsey Williams is not a prophet. He just happened to be there by the providence of God, and the elite have told him things. So let's go first of all to what's going to happen to the dollar, because that is what relates directly to food prices. I have been told, and you need to write this down and watch it happen, they said to me the dollar will be dead by the end of 2012. Now, don't misinterpret what they said. He did not say the dollar will be non-existent. He said that the dollar will be dead. Now, let me try to explain this by something that happened to my family just within the past month's time. About a month ago, the family and I were at the grocery store shopping, and I remembered that we needed to stock up on some things. We try to keep at least a six-month supply of certain items in our house because I know what's going to happen, and I don't want to be without certain items. So I remembered that we were just about out of bathroom tissue. And I thought, well, I better get a package. And Safeway grocery store, well-known grocery chain, we were shopping, and I picked up one of those big ones with a whole lot of tissue in it, and it cost me $6. Well, when I got home, I realized that I had very little on the shelf, definitely didn't have a six-month supply. And, of course, they don't make Sizzler Roebuck catalogs anymore, so I decided I'd better stock up on some more. So I went the following week, we went to the grocery store. I said, let's get a six-month supply of bathroom tissue. And we looked on the shelf, and it had gone to $9. The identical same brand, same tissue exactly, it had gone to $9. So I bought a six-month supply of it. Well, last weekend, the family and I were at the grocery store, and my son and I was pushing the cart, and I looked at the shelf, and I said, Daniel, I can't believe this. We looked at the identical same tissue, the identical same package, same brand, everything was $12 for the same package. 1 month ago, it was $6. It went to $9. It went to $12. Now, let me tell you, what they told me was going to happen, and here's how it works. One day on the phone, it was said, there will be no – now, please, this is so very important. You definitely need to jot this down. I know this is going to be quite different than what you're hearing from most radio talk shows, but all I can do is just tell you what is going to happen. There will be no shortage of groceries on the grocery store shelf. Now, I hope you're getting this. there'll be no shortage. And when this was said, you know, I'm the kind of a person that I like to make sure that my family is taken care of. So the first thing I want to do is question. I said, what do you mean there'll be no shortages on the grocery store shelf? They said, Chaplain, there will be plenty of groceries. The shelves will be full, but you may go hungry. I said, what do you mean? He said, the grocery store shelves will be full, but you won't be able to buy it. I said, why not? The dollar will be dead by the end of 2012. Now we are seeing hyperinflation. You heard what I said about that tissue, $6, $9, $12. You will continue to see this. Now, it wasn't the tissue that went up in value. Please keep in mind what changed. Now, you were paying $1.50 a gallon for gasoline back 2.5 years ago. Today, you're paying over $3 a gallon for gasoline. But the gasoline is still 4 quarts to the gallon. That tissue in the grocery store is still so many rolls of it in the case. The tissue in the grocery store, the gasoline at the gas pump, has not increased in price. Please, you need to understand the mindset and the thinking of the elite. The only thing that has changed in value is the currency that you purchase the gasoline or the tissue with. But the price of the product itself has not changed at all. So you say, will we have plenty of groceries? Sure, on the grocery store shelf. But can you afford them at the price of what they'll be? Not according to what the elite told me. So as a result, there are many precautions that the listeners in your audience need to take, Carrie.
Okay. So we know by 2012, you're telling us to write this down, that the dollar will be dead but not necessarily non-existent.
That is correct. It'll have so little purchasing power that you may take a wheelbarrow load of dollar bills to the grocery store to buy a loaf of bread, so to speak. The dollar is definitely no longer the world reserve currency. The Federal Reserve admits to a $14 trillion deficit in the United States of America. The other countries of the world do not trust our currency anymore, and the dollar is in big trouble.
I think you mentioned some of the countries that were no longer wanting to deal with our currency or considering it a reserve currency. Can you run down those countries for us?
Well, there was a transaction just recently that was carried on between Russia and China. Now, keep in mind, China does not have a lot of oil. They need oil, and they also need natural gas. Well, Russia, as of last year, became the number one oil producer in the world, surpassing Saudi Arabia. And then most people don't realize this, but look and you'll find it to be a fact. And now, as a result, China and Russia just weeks ago made an agreement that Russia would supply China with all of the crude oil that they need and all the natural gas that they need. But they said, in this agreement, we will not use the American dollar as the currency for sale and trade of crude oil. Now, this has never happened before, ever, in history. As long as crude oil has been used, the American dollar has been used as the currency for the sale and the trade of crude oil. But as of this transaction, which was catastrophic in size, that they will not use the American dollar for the sale and trade of crude oil anymore between China and Russia. And now China, of course, is not buying our T-bills and our Federal Reserve issues like they used to. As a result, many nations of the world are backing away from the use of the American dollar and going to other currencies, Carrie.
I think you mentioned those were like China, Kuwait, Ecuador, Libya, Iran, Switzerland, Syria, South Korea, Argentina, and Malaysia?
Yes, these countries, when trading amongst themselves, no longer are using the American dollar, but as a result are using other currencies for the sale and trade of their products. And as a result, the American dollar is in big trouble worldwide.
That said, what should someone do? I mean, because to me, if you got 80,000, 800, 800,000, it's all going to be, you know, in the same place, no matter who you are, if the dollar becomes, like, you know, dead, as you put it. So what should someone be doing with the money that they have today?
There is something you can do. In fact, I was on the phone with this elitist friend of mine one day, and I was just flabbergasted. I mean, I was beside myself. I care about my family, and I don't want them to have to suffer through all in times like these. And so I asked the gentleman, I said, what can I do to spare my assets? I said, can you have it in a bank account? Do you want a savings account? Do you want an IRA? Do you want a 401k? I said, what does a person do in order to maintain purchasing power with their assets? And he said to me, he said, Chaplain, there is only one thing. Now, folks, please, this again is so vitally important. He said, there's only one thing on the face of the earth that will maintain its purchasing power. He said, you can't do it in real estate. House values were going down and down and down. He said, you can't maintain purchasing power with IRAs or with stocks and bonds. He said, anything that's written on paper, it's worth the paper it's written on. And I said, well, what can a person do then with what little money they've got? He said, Chaplain, you have to go to our currency. And I said, well, wait a minute. I said, what do you mean you have to go to your currency? I said, what is your currency? He said, we don't trust paper. The elite of the world, they do not trust paper. They've gotten out of paper, except just a little bit that they may need to carry on whatever they may have to do in their household. They have gotten out of paper. And I said, well, what is your currency? He said, Chaplain, our currency is gold and silver. He said, it is the only thing that will maintain purchasing power. Now, Carrie, that was approximately 2 years ago, and I put this in my DVDs and my CDs with an explanation of all of this, and I'm so glad I did back in those days. Otherwise, people would wonder, what in the world? How could you possibly know all this? Now, by the way, before I go any further, let me say, I do not sell gold and silver. You couldn't buy an ounce from me if you wanted to, because I do not sell it. I am not advertising anything. I am merely telling you what they said to me. They said, our currency is gold and silver. Now, that was 2 years ago when you could buy an ounce of gold for $700. You could buy an ounce of silver for $15. And I went on the air on stations all across America, and I said, please, please go and buy gold and silver. I said, it's the only thing that you can trust to maintain the purchasing power of your assets. You can't trust paper. And I said, go and buy it. Oh, my goodness, those who listened to me and were willing to trust what the elite had told me back in those days, now that same gold is worth $1,300 an ounce, nearly twice what they paid for it 2 years ago. And now the silver that was worth $15 an ounce is worth $30 an ounce, exactly twice what it was back then. And many of those people say, Chaplain, we thank you so much for helping us to know what to do. I said, well, all I did was just told you what the elite said. Now, that is true right now, the same thing. There's only one thing that you can trust that will spare your household and whereby you can maintain the purchasing power of your assets, and that is in their currency, and that is gold and silver. And you haven't seen anything yet. You think gold prices are high right now? You think silver prices are high? You just wait. Give it another year or two. Give it to the end of 2012, and you easily could see the doubling of gold and silver prices again. Now you say, but wait a minute, Chaplain. Now, let me try to figure this out. Here I have bought an ounce of gold. I can't eat it. And that's silver. I can't eat that either. So what am I going to do when the dollar collapses? How am I going to be able to buy anything with that gold and silver? Simple. Just as simple as 1, 2, 3. You see, by that time, that $1,300 ounce of gold, it will probably be worth $3,000. And the silver that you're paying $30 for right now, you'll probably be paying $60 and $70 for it by then. You merely take that which has gone up in purchasing power and turn around and buy whatever currency is usable at the time at the price that that gold and silver is worth, and you haven't lost one penny. But you take your 401k, your IRA, your stocks in the stock market, your pension plan. You think you're going to have any value in those things by that time? No, they're going to devalue with the dollar. And as the elite have told me, they said, Chaplain, the only place that you can maintain your purchasing power is in gold and silver.
I've heard people say, though, Pastor Williams, that they were fearful that if they took their money and put it all in gold and silver, that I think it was in the 1920s when the government took up all the gold and silver, they were fearful that that could happen again. And so then they would be stuck with nothing because if something like that happened again. Do you think there's a likelihood of that happening?
According to what the elite have told me, they will keep gold and silver as their currency, and they are not going to allow it to be touched. Even so, we know what the value of the dollar is going to be.
Yeah.
The value of the dollar is deteriorating so rapidly until nobody wants to stay in the dollar anymore. Foreign countries don't want it. Americans are losing the value of it. Remember, when you go to the gas pump, you have not paid more for the gasoline. It's the currency that has devalued, but you're still getting 4 quarts to the gallon on gasoline. So, but of course, there's one other thing also, and I urge people to do this before they even consider the possibility of gold and silver. You definitely need to have a paid-for roof over your head. It is so important. You know, if there's any one thing, when all of this comes down to the wire, you need gold and silver. I mean, you need a paid-for roof over your head first before you get anything else. Because, as the elite have told me, when it's all said and done and the dust is cleared, they will own every mortgage piece of property, both commercial and residential, in the United States of America.
Didn't you say the feds were going to own every piece of mortgage? Is it the feds that we're calling the elitists, or are we calling the elitists something other than the feds?
All right. This brings up a whole other subject, and, of course, it would be a program within itself.
Oh,
and I explain this in detail on my DVDs and CDs, but you will begin to hear more and more about mortgage-backed securities, MBS. It is going to be one of the major issues from this point on. And basically what's happening is, you know how many houses around America have been repossessed. You know how many bankruptcies there are. We are record bankruptcies across the country. Millions of people are behind 3 and 4 months on their mortgages because the elite planned it this way. In fact, I was told this and put it in some of my materials back 2 years ago, that they had said that all of this was planned 10 to 12 years ago through the teaser loans and the interest-only loans and all these special loans that they gave out back in those days where you didn't have to put anything down. And they did it intentionally because they knew that they were going to destroy the value of the dollar to the point that you couldn't make your house payment. But yet, after you've paid on that house for 5 to 10 years, you can't make the payment for 3 months. They come in and repossess it. All of this was intentional. And do they give you anything back when they repossess that house? No, they don't give you anything because they get it for nothing. And basically, the mortgage-backed securities, let me try to explain them just briefly if I can.
Okay.
Back over the past 10 years, banks would make loans, and oftentimes they didn't even require a down payment.
Right.
They would do anything to get you into a mortgage. Because it was a trap, and I tried to warn people that this was a trap, but very few people paid any attention to me, and now, of course, the real estate market is in horrible trouble. But what they did was the lending institutions, Fannie and Freddie and your banks and your lending institutions, they took these no-good mortgages, and they knew they were no good. They knew that people weren't going to be able to pay whenever it came around to the time of them paying not only the interest but then having to pay the principal. They knew that all of this was going to happen, but they took these mortgages, which are called MBS, mortgage-backed securities, and they packaged them together in hundreds, sometimes in a package, and they would sell these mortgages to everybody in the world. They sold them to China. They sold them to Russia. I mean, America's economy was going great. So they sold these mortgages to pension funds and every kind of thing imaginable, even, well, anyway, you name it. They sold them everywhere, and knowing that eventually they were going to collapse. Now, of course, they have collapsed, but they were all packaged together in a package, and they did not go through the proper paperwork in the county where you are in order to get the proper in order to legally be able to sell all of these. And sometimes the banks don't even know where they are. They only service the loan on behalf of a person in China or Russia. Now, these things have gone bad. Millions of houses have been returned, and sometimes they don't even know where they are. So as a result, the mortgage-backed security issue, it is estimated that somewhere between $7 and $12 trillion worth of bad paper out there floating around in the world somewhere, and sometimes people don't even know who owns it. And as a result, mark my words, you are going to see the elite through the Federal Reserve. After all, the Federal Reserve is the elite.
Right.
Most of them are a part of that. And, of course, you know the Federal Reserve is not an agency of the federal government any more than Federal Express is. So the Federal Reserve, before long, are going to have to ask the taxpayers of America to bail out the mortgage-backed security debauch, the horrible situation that it's in. And because of this, the elite, by way of the Federal Reserve, will take over the mortgages, and they will own every mortgaged piece of real estate in America whenever the dust settles and it's all over again because of the mortgage-backed security problem. I mean, this thing goes so deep, but every bit of this is planned in advance. They knew exactly what they were going to do, and all of this is coming to a head somewhere around the end of 2012. This is their timeline for what they're going to do, Carrie.
Okay. Let's pause for a second here. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHD's 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for tonight's topic, Talking with Lindsay Williams. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, A.J. Houston is manning the chat room tonight, so if you have a question or comment, you can also post it up in chat. You say something, Mr. Williams, that I found interesting. You talk a lot about the elitists and the time that you spent with them and the fact that you still have friendships with them. But you tell us all of these bad things that they're going to do to us, but at the same time you say they're not bad people. How can that be?
Oh, no, I didn't say they're not bad people. In fact, I'll never forget one.
Okay, so
yeah,
you don't
I'll never forget one day when I was on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. I'd been rubbing shoulders with these people all day long, and I was just flabbergasted that any such people could even exist on the face of the earth that would have the audacity to do to nations and people what they were doing by a design plan. And I remember that night I went back to my dorm room, and keep in mind, I came to know Christ as my Savior very early in life, at 11 years of age, in fact, and then I pastored a church for 12 years. Prior to going to Alaska as a missionary. And I was accustomed to a Christian environment. And all of a sudden to be thrown into the midst of some of the most conniving, deceptive people on the face of the earth. And all day long I'd been around these people, rubbing shoulders with them. I went back to my dorm room that night. I laid down on my bed. I looked up at the ceiling, and I literally cried out, and I said, "Oh, God, how can there be such dastardly people on the face of this earth that would, by design plan, intentionally manipulate and control nations and people?" So, yes, I do not claim that they are good people. I just say that, all right, let me put it this way. They do have a moral code. Now,
okay.
I know this sounds unusual, But you have to understand where I'm coming from when I say this. See, I have written three books that do nothing but try to explain the mindset of the elite.
Okay.
I graduated from college, have a bachelor's degree, and had studied psychiatry. And I think when I got on the pipeline, because of being a pastor for 12 years and doing so much counseling with families, I think I had the ability to somewhat figure these people out, analyze them, and in the course of literally sitting across the dinner table from them, I learned that they do have a moral code, but their moral code is completely different than the moral code of the Bible or the moral code that you and I would have, Kerry. Their moral code, one of the facets of their moral code is that they must tell the world everything they're going to do before they do it, and they do. But the average person does not know how to interpret what they're saying. Now, keep in mind that Hollywood is their perversion, and the national media is their mouthpiece. And through the national media, they tell you what they're going to do. For instance, after one of these elitist friends of mine died just recently, he was 86 years of age, and after he passed away, I felt free to do something that I had never done before. Out of respect for him, I didn't do it prior to that. Nobody has ever done this before because they haven't had the voices of these people to do it. I actually took the voices of the elite. Now, you heard me correctly. I'll give their names, and you will hear their voices. I took the voices of the elite. You will know who they are. I put them on two CDs. 2.5 hours long, nearly 3 hours long. And I said, the world has got to know what these people say. You will actually hear them. You'll hear their names. You'll hear their voices. And you will hear them tell you everything they're going to do through 2012. Nobody's ever done this before. But when you hear them, they oftentimes speak things in such a manner that you have to understand what their motivation is and how they're going about doing it. For instance, what's happening in Egypt right now? Every bit of this is for a purpose of the Muslim Brotherhood, one nation after the other, taking over the Middle East. In fact, we may as well just go into this at this point. But let me first of all go back to their moral code. They feel that they must tell the world everything they're going to do before they do it. And one way or the other, you'll hear it, except you just don't know how to interpret what they're saying. Well, because of living with them and because of being around them so much over these past 35 years, I think I have learned to interpret some of the things they're saying. And so when you hear their buzzwords, you know what their intentions are. Now, they told me 3 to 4 months in advance that something was going to happen in the Middle East. They also told me that the price of crude oil was going to go up at about the same time, up to $150 to $200 a barrel, which would take it back to $4 to $5 a gallon at the gas pump. Then, when this happened in Egypt, keep in mind some things about Egypt. First of all, the Suez Canal runs through Egypt, and 30% of the world's oil supply in any given day travels through the Suez Canal. Can you imagine the Muslim Brotherhood, who believe in the Quran, which practice jihad, which are positively a militant group, and can you imagine with what they think of the United States of America and what they've just done to Mubarak, if they decided that they wanted to keep oil from coming to certain countries in the world through the Suez Canal? Now, one oil company official, in fact, I think he's the CEO of one of the major oil companies today, actually was on the news 2 days ago. This was on national news, and if you had heard him, you would have picked up on one of their buzzwords. And he said, if this continues in Egypt and in the Middle East, he said, if the Suez Canal is closed or the Sumid pipeline that runs through Egypt happened to be blown up, he said, you could actually see oil prices increase to $4 and $5 a gallon within a matter of hours. Oh, you don't have the slightest idea how important what's happening in Egypt is. So, Kerry, if you want to get into the subject of what's happening over in the Middle East, I'll be glad to give you some of the predictions as to what they have said that will take place over there.
Please do. Please do.
Okay, first of all, this crisis in Egypt did not happen by chance. They've had this planned well over a year, and they told me about it 4 to 5 months ago. I think they probably know that I go on many radio talk shows, and they didn't tell me I couldn't say it. So, by the way, I am very careful sometimes about what I say that they tell me, because about 2 years ago, I said too much. And one of them called me on the phone one day, and he said, "Chaplain, you've gone too far.
Wow.
You're saying too much." And he said, "You're going to have to quit saying certain things." He said, "Either you do this and this and this and this," or he said, "We're going to do this and this and this and this." Well, I don't take that lightly, because I know John F. Kennedy, president of the United States of America, years ago, crossed these people, and he was the president, and you know what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
He got assassinated, and I wasn't about to disagree with him, so I said, "What do you want me to do?" They said, "Well, first of all, you got to close down your website. You're saying too much, and you're getting too much attention." And they said, "Secondly, you're going to have to take certain things out of your DVDs." So anymore, and I did it. I did exactly what they said.
Can you tell us?
Because I'd rather be able to tell the world some things, but maybe not be able to say everything that they tell me. Yes, go ahead, Carrie.
Can you tell us what kinds of things they don't want us to know about? What kind of subject matter?
Well, if I did, I'd be saying the very things they told me not to say. I will put it this way. There are certain things about the Alaska oil field that they positively did not want me to say anymore.
Okay.
They don't want you to know how much crude oil that America has.
Okay.
We have enough that we wouldn't need any foreign oil whatsoever. And where that oil is their secret. But there are certain things. So anymore, whenever they say something, I'll say, "Well, do you mind if I say these things?" And it was quite interesting that this one individual who passed away just recently, 80-something years of age, before he died, he said, "Chaplain Williams, I'm too old to care." He said, "Just go ahead and tell them everything." Well, as a result, I did. So let's go into what they said in relation to crude oil and the price where it's going. That means you are going to go back up to $4 a gallon to $5 a gallon at the gas pump. Part of what's happening in Egypt, this was planned years in advance. They knew what they were going to do. They knew they were going to bring Mubarak down. And who now will step into Egypt? The Muslim Brotherhood. And
wow.
What is the Muslim Brotherhood? The Muslim Brotherhood is a militant arm of the Arab groups, and they believe in jihad, and they practice everything in the Quran. And they made the statement last week. In fact, you probably heard this on national news. You need to catch these buzzwords. The Muslim Brotherhood said back about a week ago, they said, "We intend to have what we've got right now in Egypt, a similar situation in every Arab country in the Middle East. They're going to go from country to country. Mark my words, you'll watch it happen. What's happening in Egypt today," and they said, "We're going to run Israel out." Now, this is drastic, because Egypt and Israel's borders unite for 160 miles. If they wanted to increase the price of crude oil overnight, all they would need to do is to shut down the amount of oil going through the Suez Canal, which is 30% of the oil in any given day. Now, I know some of you at this point, and by the way, I'm going to continue going through the Middle East as to what's going to happen. But since we're coming up to a break here on the hour, let me ask each of you, please, you do not need to lose any sleep over this.
Wow.
The reason I'm telling you these things is not to frighten you. You should not be afraid, but you should learn what to do. And when you know what to do, you can spare yourself from a lot of the heartache that is coming. And so as a result, I have listed in my latest DVD presentations and in my CDs, I've listed 12 things that you can do, and you must do them immediately. And according to what the elite have told me recently, you positively must do 12 things in order to spare your household a lot of heartache. So would you please do this for me? Now, some of you may have to drop off on the hour, I hope you won't. I hope you'll stay on because I've just begun with what we're going to give.
No, you can but keep going. I think they're afraid.
But yes,
keep talking.
May I ask you to please jot down our toll-free number, and I urge you to get my six DVDs and my CDs. Oh, by the way, they're not copywritten. I beg you to copy them and give them out to everybody you can. But call our toll-free number. We have operators standing by even right now. The toll-free number is 888-799-6111. Or you can go on the Internet, if you'd like, to prophecyclub.com. That's prophecyclub.com or our toll-free number. And, oh, by the way, you'll only talk to an American operator. You won't be talking to somebody you can't understand when you go to our number. We believe in America. And our toll-free number is 888-799-6111. Copy these materials, the DVDs and the CDs. Give them to your friends, your neighbors. Help everybody understand the intricate details as to how the elite work, Carrie.
I'm going to pause you just for a second. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHD's 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for tonight's topic, Talking with Lindsay Williams. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial in at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, Mr. A.J. Houston is in the chat room tonight. So if you have a question or a comment, you can also post it up in chat. Now, Mr. Williams, you were saying you were going to tell us there's a wave moving across the Middle East. And did I understand you to say they're going to run Egypt out? What does that mean?
I said that Israel, they have said that they intend to drive Israel out.
Wow.
They have a dire hatred for the Jewish people, and they intend to take action. The Muslim Brotherhood, which is the one that brought about the all of this uprising in Egypt. Now, let me try to explain how the elite work through such an organization as the Muslim Brotherhood. I remember one day I was in a vehicle up on the north slope of Alaska with one of these elitists. And as we drove along, I said, look here. I said, you actually support such organizations as the Sierra Club and Greenpeace and all of these. And I said, yet they're costing you millions of dollars building this pipeline. And I said, why do you do that? And he said, Chaplain, we play both sides. I said, what do you mean? He said, we control them all. I said, but they're costing you millions of dollars. He said, that doesn't matter. We just go up on the price of the gasoline. He said, you see, we give to the Democratic Party. We give to the Republican Party. And it doesn't matter which candidate gets in. We still accomplish what we want to. Now, that's exactly what they did with the Muslim Brotherhood. They have been working, the elite of the world, have been working with the Muslim Brotherhood, helping to finance and promote what's happening in Egypt. And now that the Muslim Brotherhood have taken over, here is what you're going to see. First of all, Mubarak is out as of today.
Right.
And I've been predicting for the past 2 weeks that he eventually would have to resign.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is going to spread. Most people think that now that Egypt will be able to have elections in September and Mubarak is out, that all of this will calm down. Uh-uh, quite to the contrary. You're going to see this spread all over the Middle East. I was told this. Now, right now, there's rioting in Jordan. And look on your map, write these nations down, and then look and see where they are. King Abdullah of Jordan was sent an ultimatum by his people just a matter of days ago, and he was told, if you don't start giving us what we want, we are going to do exactly what they did in Egypt. That's King Abdullah of Jordan. And right now there's already rioting in Jordan within the past 2 weeks. You just haven't heard about it because the Egyptian thing took forefront. Again, you go see it happen in Tunisia. Tunisia, they're already burning schools in Tunisia. You're going to see it go to Turkey. Kuwait, oh my goodness, I hope you know what Kuwait did this past week. Yes, Kuwait, one of the Arab countries. And, Carrie, I notice we're coming up on the break here, so then we'll go on and tell you what you can expect in each of these countries.
Okay. Okay. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHG's 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for today's topic, Talking with Lindsay Williams. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial in at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, AJ Houston is in the chat room tonight, so if you have a question or a comment and you're listening via the Internet, post up your questions and comments in the chat room. Okay, Mr. Williams, continue.
The country of Kuwait in the Middle East, this past week, in order to keep their people from allowing the Muslim Brotherhood to come in and do the same thing they've done in Egypt, mm-hmm. the kings of Kuwait gave to every person that could prove their citizenship in the country, gave them an outright gift of $3,500 this past week, and promised them 1 year of free food. And they said, we're doing this because we want you to know we care about you, and we don't want to happen here what happened in Egypt. The House of Saud in Saudi Arabia, they are scared to death. They had their first peaceful demonstration on January the 29th. You didn't hear that in the news, but they did. I saw pictures of it. January the 29th in Saudi Arabia, peaceful demonstration, but the people said it won't be peaceful if you don't give us what we want. Yemen, they've already had riots. Now, Saudi Arabia provides most of the crude oil for the United States of America, and the Muslim Brotherhood have said that they intend to take what they've just done in Egypt and take it to every Arab country in the Middle East. And these are militant Muslims that believe and practice jihad. And this is so drastic for America because it can impact our fuel prices and what takes place on the grocery store shelves and the hardware. I mean, it's going to have a major impact on America. And what's happening right now in Egypt, mark my words, it is only the beginning of what you will see take place, Carrie.
You know, I know we feel kind of safe over here because that seems to be over there, but I understand it's coming this way as well.
I don't think we'll probably see it on our own soil anytime soon because we don't have the massive amount of Muslim jihad people in America that England has or France has or some of the other countries over in Europe have. Those countries are going to see major, major problems.
Well, you're telling people to get the 6 months of food supply and move to the country and things like that. Why are you telling them to do that then?
Well, first of all, because the prices at the grocery store are going to go up so drastically. Mm-hmm. And if we do have – I'm not saying that we won't have a terrorist attack in America. We may. Because the Muslim Brotherhood is gaining momentum so rapidly, we may see some terrorist attack in America. Okay, I may as well give you this one. I didn't know whether I was going to give it tonight or not.
Please
but,
do.
But I think this fits into the point that it probably would be best for me to tell you this story. Now, you can prove this for yourself. In fact, one very prominent talk show host that I was on just the other day actually was able to prove this on the Internet. I don't know how he did it, but he did. Okay, here goes. A very prominent Hispanic political activist in the Arizona area. As you know, Arizona has a very high Hispanic population that has come over from Mexico, some legal, some illegal. And I'm not going to touch on that issue tonight, but I want to tell you the story of what happened. There's a very prominent Hispanic political activist in Arizona who was a very close friend with Janet Napolitano. You remember that Janet Napolitano, who is now the head of Homeland Security, was the governor of Arizona prior to her going to Washington to serve in that position. And this very prominent Hispanic political activist in Phoenix was asked by Janet Napolitano to come to Washington and take a job as the liaison between the Hispanic communities of America and Homeland Security. For the sake of her protection, I will not give the name of the individual. You probably can find it for yourself and prove this, as some talk show hosts have.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, she was offered $170,000 a year if she would go and be a part of the present administration under Janet Napolitano and Homeland Security. She was approved. She filled out all the paperwork. Everything was done. She went to Washington back a number of months ago and met with the president and with Janet Napolitano and was ready to take the job for $170,000 a year. She was told by both Janet Napolitano and the president of the United States of America, Mr. Obama, that there were a few things that she had to do if she took the job. They said, first of all, you must agree with the president under everything he ever does, any statement he ever makes. You cannot disagree with him. You have to agree with the president. And secondly, they said, now, we know that you're a Christian. Oh, by the way, this political activist, Hispanic lady here in the Phoenix area is a very devout Christian. And Janet Napolitano knew that when she asked her to come and take this job. So when she got to Washington, the president and Janet said that you must agree with the president on everything. And secondly, you cannot talk about abortion. You can never mention homosexuals or lesbians. As you know, Janet Napolitano is a known lesbian. And they said, you can't talk about those things. Well, this lady said, I can't take the job. She said, I will not give up my Christian convictions and will not turn down my Lord for the sake of $170,000 a year. So they sent her back home and said, sorry, we can't give you the job. Well, just a matter of days ago, this individual from Phoenix, who had been offered this job, went back to Washington in order to attempt to get some grants for her Hispanic friends and organizations here in Arizona. When she was in Washington, now this is just days ago, Janet Napolitano found out she was in Washington, and she called her on the phone and said, I would like to have lunch with you. And she did. She said, more than happy to. They did, privately. And Janet Napolitano, the director of Homeland Security, said, called the lady by name and said, I want you to go back to Phoenix, and as soon as you get home, immediately get 6 months of food and water supply in your house. Well, this individual asked Janet Napolitano, well, why do you tell me this? Janet said, I am only saying this to a few very close friends of mine. She said, I cannot tell you why I am saying it, but take my word for it. You need to spare your household. There's something that's going to happen that you need 6 months of food and water in your house. She said, please, for the sake of your household, go back and do it. Now, this is the reason that I list as number one on my list of things that I feel you positively must do immediately. Not a month from now, not 6 months from now. You need to do it immediately. You need to do what Janet Napolitano said. I don't know what she knows. And she wouldn't tell this person, hasn't told her yet. At least if so, the person didn't feel free to tell me. But there very well could be some terrorist attacks in America. And if so, nobody's going to want to go to a shopping center. People will be afraid to go to grocery stores. You definitely need to take some precautions for your family immediately in order to spare yourself a lot of heartache, Kara.
Wow. That's a lot to think about. Let me ask you, and we have not talked about this, but it's just because you seem to have such insider information on everything else, the Arizona shooting of Gabrielle Giffords, did you have any knowledge prior to that anything was going to happen in Arizona?
No, I did not. And talk show hosts such as yourself oftentimes talk with me off of the air.
Right.
And many of them have asked me to ask my friends some things. And I do. I'll go and ask them. Now, sometimes they'll answer me and sometimes they won't. It's real interesting how these elitists, they're so powerful. And, of course, they're just courteous to me because of me giving 3 years of my life and living with them. But sometimes I'll ask them a question, and they just point blank say, no, I'm not going to answer your question. No, I had no knowledge whatsoever that this was going to happen here in Arizona.
Do you think since it's happened that there's any indicators in that or buzzwords, as you put them, that we should pay attention to?
I really don't think so. I think that this was just a kook, if I could put it that way. I don't know how to classify such a person that would do the horrifying thing that he did, but I think this was just an individual that decided he was going to do something wild like that and did it. But there's no indicators whatsoever that I know of that this was a buzzword or was expressing anything to the American people.
Okay. When you wrote the book Energy Non-Crisis, what did that come from? I mean, based on the fact I'm understanding, you say that 1 billion cubic feet is being pumped back into the earth every 24 hours in the North Slope of Alaska, so there is no real oil shortage as we understand it?
We have literally been betrayed by our congressman in Washington. I am so glad that in this last election in November that we threw out a bunch of the bums up there. Now, you forgive me. I have respect for my congressman, but we have some that have literally betrayed the United States of America, have sold out to the elite, and it's tragic because on the North Slope of Alaska, now, this is true on any oil field.
Mm-hmm.
Every oil field in the world, as far as I know, there's more than just oil that comes out of that oil field.
Mm-hmm.
There's natural gas. There are chemicals of all different kinds. And on the North Slope of Alaska, for instance, there's approximately 1 million cubic feet of natural gas that come out of the ground with the oil every 24 hours, and it's being pumped back into the ground and not being allowed to come to the American people. This is an atrocity.
Mm.
And they intentionally did this. Congress, and of course, keep in mind that the oil companies pay off these people to do what they want them to do.
Mm.
And they did not want that natural gas to come down here because they wanted to keep the price of natural gas high. Do you know that natural gas is the cleanest method of generating electricity of any method there is? It doesn't pollute the environment even as much as hydroelectric. It is a clean. It has positively no pollutants with the use of natural gas for the generation of electricity. And we are pumping back into the ground at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, enough natural gas that the entire United States of America could be supplied for over 200 years with the known reserves that are at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, if they would just allow them to bring it out of Alaska to the American people, but both because of what the elite want and what Congress did. Another pipeline was not built down the same corridor as a crude oil pipeline. And as a result, right now, today, at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, there are seven 747-type jet aircraft engines that are being used, running continuously to pump that natural gas back into the ground because the environmentalists will not allow them to burn it off, so naturally they have to pump it back into the ground, and it comes up naturally with the oil. It's an atrocity. We could heat every home in America for a fraction of what we're heating it for now. We could generate electricity without polluting the atmosphere in any manner whatsoever, and we have the natural gas on America's own soil on the North Slope of Alaska.
So we're not running out of oil, as they tell us?
Oh, positively not. No, we're not running out of oil at all.
So we
have
massive
amounts of crude oil in America.
Wow. What happened with the Gulf oil spill? Can you tell us anything about that?
Yes, I can. In fact, when BP had their that well to blow, I waited about a month to a month and a half because I wanted to make sure that they weren't going to be able to cap it, and they didn't. And I went to my elitist friends and I said, what is the real story of what happened in the Gulf of Mexico? And then I recorded this on a CD. I don't even know whether it's available anymore or not. But basically, in a nutshell, here's what happened. Back about 1970, Russia drilled what they call super deep oil wells. Nobody had ever done this before. They went to 40,230 feet. No one had ever drilled that deep before. And one of the reasons that Russia bypassed Saudi Arabia last year in oil production is because they had done this and they found massive amounts of crude oil. And as a result, have become the number one leader in crude oil production in the world. Now, they went down that deep, but they did it on land. Now, nobody else had done it but Russia. Russia has drilled since then, I think, 10 oil wells and have produced massive amounts of crude oil. In fact, the textbooks on oil are going to have to completely be rewritten because oil is not a fossil fuel. I hope you're hearing this. Oil positively is not a fossil fuel. And when the Russians went down that deep, there are no fossils down there. And now they're calling it abiotic fuel. Now, if some of you really want to get into the technical details of this and investigate what I'm saying, please do it. They have now begun to rewrite the textbooks on crude oil because oil is not a fossil fuel. It is an abiotic fuel. That means that somewhere down in the heart of the earth, they don't know exactly where because no one's ever been there. And only the Russians have drilled that deep. And I have to give all this background in order to tell you what's happened in the Gulf of Mexico.
Okay.
The oil is produced by some chemical process and seeps up into the oil fields all over the world. Prudhoe Bay was supposed to have given out of oil 10 years ago, but yet it still is producing just like it did 35 years ago. Why? Oil from down in the heart of the earth is seeping up into these oil fields and replenishing them. And there is no shortage whatsoever. So BP Oil Company decided they wanted to get in on what Russia did. Oh, this is so tragic. Many scientists warned our United States government not to allow BP to go into the Gulf of Mexico and to drill a super deep well. Now, please understand what they did. They were not drilling an ordinary, everyday oil well. They intended to go into the Gulf of Mexico in the water. They should have never done it. Russia drilled all of their super deep wells on land, and if they had a problem, they could stop it.
Mm-hmm.
BP and our government is just as much to blame as BP was. Our government gave the permits. BP went into the Gulf of Mexico into 5,000-foot water. That means from the top of the water to where they began to drill into the surface was 5,000 feet, and they drilled 30,000 feet down.
Wow.
Do you realize that 30,000 feet is how high you travel in a jet airplane?
Wow.
You level out up there, and the pilot says, look down at the ground. And that's how deep BP drilled, and they hit something. They sure did. They hit an oil field. They had been warned not to do it, because they did not know what was there. They thought they knew what was there, but they didn't know what was there. They hit an oil field that had such high pressure that they could not contain it. They hit somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 to 40,000 pounds per square inch of oil pressure. Nobody has ever done that before. Russia never even hit that kind of a pressure. And my elitist friends told me about it. And then I realized why it blew everything. It blew the rig. It blew the pipe. It blew everything out of the ground. They couldn't help it. Nothing would have held it. And finally, they were able to contain it after they contaminated the Gulf of Mexico, something horrible. And BP was trying to do what the Russians did. The only thing is they were so stupid as to go into the Gulf of Mexico in 5,000-foot water and attempt to drill 30,000 feet down.
So it wasn't intentional. It was not intentional to have that spill. It really was an accident.
It was an accident. It positively was not intentional, and I don't think they wanted to happen what happened. In fact, they were a great loser in this because they wanted to bring in an oil field and become another Russia, so to speak. But instead, it cost them millions and millions because of the mistake they made.
You said something about the cleanup down there, what's causing everybody to get sick that's involved in that cleanup. What did you say that was?
Oh, it's horrible what happened down there, because that particular oil field in that super deep well. Now, the upper oil field, see, there's many layers of oil. And BP went down 30,000 feet. They, first of all, they drilled through sand. Then they went down and drilled through the rock, which was granite, cap that was holding that oil in. Now, above that are smaller oil fields that many of the shallow rigs are drilling into and producing in the Gulf of Mexico right now. But they went below all of that, drilled through the granite cap, and when they did, it blew everything because the pressure is so high. That oil is seeping up into the shallow oil fields. Well, when this happened, it released not only oil, but it released some of the most horrible toxic gases that you could ever imagine. And I warned people all around the Gulf of Mexico at the time this happened that they were going to be breathing deadly gases that in many cases are carcinogenic, would cause cancer, birth defects, and so on. And we actually knew the gases that were at the time. I don't have a list in front of me right now, but I actually had a list of the gases that were coming out of that well. It was horrible.
And the government didn't warn the people of this?
Sure. No, they didn't. They knew it was there, too. They'd gone down and tested it. And we were able to get the results that the Environmental Protection Agency had tested for, but they refused to give that material out to the people and warn them how dangerous it was.
Okay. This is scaring me more and more by the minute. Listen, you said something that I was very curious about. You said that they said to watch China and to watch Russia. Why did you say that?
I was on the phone with one of these individuals one day, and he said to me, he said, "Chaplain, don't pay any attention to North and South Korea." He said, "Don't even really pay too much attention to what's happening over the Middle East." He said, "Those will just distract your attention away from the main issues." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, and I'll give you his exact words. He said, "China is the big one." Now, at the time, I really didn't know what he was saying, because that was nearly 2 years ago. And I didn't comprehend the full idea of this until the Chinese head of state came to America back a few weeks ago and met with our president. And after that meeting, I understood what was going on, because China, we moved our industry over there. And America basically doesn't have, we can't produce for ourselves anymore. Can you imagine a Walmart store with nothing in the store with a tag on it saying made in China? I mean, they'd have practically nothing there. And it's just, that would be true with so many different stores in America. Now, here's what's going to happen. Mark my words. You are going to see China raise the value of their currency. Right now, the yuan is worth approximately 15 cents compared to the dollar. That means that American dollar can go over there and purchase nearly everything at practically nothing, because the yuan is worth so little. Mark my words, they will raise the value of the yuan. Whenever they do, that makes the dollar decrease in purchasing power. And when they do, oh my goodness, you cannot imagine the hyperinflation that is going to take place in the United States of America. But the worst part is, whenever an American company moves to China, this is what the average American does not know. I mean, if you knew the intricate details of all of this, as you'll hear it described in my DVDs and my CDs, and I beg of you to let this be an education to you, because these 8 hours of DVD viewing and my 3 hours of CD listening, it literally will be an education for you and your friends, because here is what is happening. When an American company, let's say Caterpillar and Boeing Aircraft Company out of Seattle, has gone now to China and are building big plants. Ford Motor Company is building a multi-billion-dollar plant in China. Caterpillar has gone there and is building the parts for their tractors, so on now, and their big, heavy, earth-moving equipment. But here's what the average American is not aware of, and I give you all of this in my CDs and DVDs. Whenever an American company, like Boeing, let's just take Boeing aircraft. Whenever Boeing aircraft goes to China and says, we're going to build multi-billion-dollar plant and produce our products in China, the Chinese government welcomes them with open arms. But they say, you must give us all of your patents. Folks, are you hearing this? Please understand, Boeing Aircraft has patents on products, on aircraft, on military equipment that they produce for the Air Force and the government. And China only allows Boeing Aircraft to come into China if Boeing Aircraft will give them the patents on the equipment that they produce in China. This is deadly. We basically have given away America because we not only moved our industry abroad, we have given them the patents to all of the equipment that industry produces, and when they want to, they can nationalize that industry, and we have lost our patent rights. This is horrifying. This should scare the daylights out of you. Our automobile companies, General Motors and Chrysler. In fact, General Motors this year will sell more automobiles in China than they sell in the United States of America. Yet General Motors keeps all of that profit outside the United States of America and never brings it back into the country and pays taxes on it. But yet we bailed out General Motors, the taxpayer did. You remember when we bailed them out a number of months ago?
Yes.
They went bankrupt. And we bailed out General Motors and Chrysler. General Motors and Chrysler got bailed out here, went to China, started producing automobiles, and sells more over there than they sell here. But not only that, they gave Russia all of the patent rights to the automobiles.
Wow.
It's horrifying. It should scare the American to death because now these companies cannot come back and produce this and own their patent rights again. We have been betrayed by Washington. It's scandiculous what they've done up there. And as a result, as the elite said to me, every bit of this is a part of their plan, and they control China as much as they do America and plan to. And they said to me, they said, China, watch them. Never mind the rest of the world, because China is the big one. That's exactly what they said, Kerry.
Pretty much you said China owns the U.S., did you not? You even mentioned that they have their flag flying on Pennsylvania Avenue?
No, I was not the one that said that. I do not know that to be true, but I do know that China has bought up many of our industries, but the worst part is when they buy the industry, they buy the patent rights to all of the products that the industry produces.
Very interesting. Let me ask you this. Was it not you that mentioned Obama's birth certificate?
No, I have never gone into that issue. In fact, I have asked them about that, and they refuse to respond, and I have not the slightest idea what the real truth of that matter is. I have never been able to get an answer from them.
That's very interesting. You mentioned earlier that Hollywood is the elite's perversion, and you said on one of your DVDs or CDs that I listened to that the movie The Oral Storm pretty much told us what they were going to do in Katrina?
Yes. Let's go back to something, and you'll have to use your memory on this one, and you can also go to your websites, or you can go to your local place that rents movies, and you can get this. Approximately 2 weeks before Katrina,
mm-hmm.
the big hurricane, hit New Orleans. The elite had produced a movie. It was all over America. Some of you may have seen it back in those days. It was on many stations around the country, and it was called Oil Storm. It was about 2 to 3 weeks before Katrina hit New Orleans. And in the movie Oil Storm, I have a copy of it, and in the movie Oil Storm, they told everything that Katrina was going to do. They talked about a Category 5, I think it was, which it was, and it said it's going to hit New Orleans. They told what it was going to do in the Gulf of Mexico to the oil platforms. They told, in fact, in the movie, they even, and I hope some of you are going to get this movie, because you will see and hear the buzzwords of the elite all the way through it. The elite produced that movie, and they did it for the purpose of telling you what was going to happen. Now you say, wait a minute, can they direct storms? Sure they can. Look what they're doing right. Look what they're doing this winter. You think all of this horrible weather that we've had across the eastern part of America and across the middle part of the country, you think this is by chance? Not on your life. Please get the book entitled Angels Don't Play This Harp.
Ooh.
I mean, Angels Don't Play This Harp. You need to get that book and read it. And an individual who knows the details, his daddy was a senator from the state of Alaska, and he wrote a book entitled Angels Don't Play This Harp, telling how they're using scalar waves in order to direct weather. And they knew that storm was out there, and they actually directed the storm at New Orleans. And in this movie, Oil Storm, they told you everything that the Katrina was going to do. It even showed the people going into the big dome, and they showed the dikes breaking, the levees. Everything that happened in Katrina was shown in the movie houses around America in a movie called Oil Storm approximately 3 weeks before it ever took place. And now after it was all over with, the elite can say, hey, we told you, why didn't you listen to us? I mean, I can give you example after example after example of how they have done this. It's their moral code that they must tell you everything they're going to do before they do it. And if you know how to interpret their buzzwords, you'll know how to understand what they're saying. And that's the reason that I just produced these latest CDs, is because you hear the voices of the elite, and then I narrate for you so that you can learn how to interpret the voices of the elite whenever you hear them in the future, and it can spare you and your household a lot of heartache, Gary.
Well, let's switch gears for a second. You said that the stock market going up is just a trick. Explain that to us.
The stock market today means nothing. For a number of years, some of us have believed that there was such a thing as a plunge protection team. But Wall Street and the Federal Reserve would never admit to it. Within the past 6 months, Mr. Bernanke has actually admitted that the Federal Reserve does have what is called a plunge protection team. That is a group of people that watch the stock market, and if they see that there's not enough buying that day, or that the stock market is not going where they want it to go, the Federal Reserve, now this should never happen. This is horrifying. The Federal Reserve will actually step in and begin to buy stock on the stock market in order to keep the stock market up. It is artificially propped up. Whenever they want it to, all they have to do is pull the plug. They have actually admitted it now within the past 6 months that there is such a thing as a plunge protection team. And we know that the stock market is totally manipulated. It should have fallen. It should have dropped a long time ago to one half of what it is today.
Wow. That's major.
And the stock market is not an indicator of anything. Pay no attention to it whatsoever. The only thing you want to watch
today. So if someone has money, we were talking about how to protect your money with what's coming up. Going and putting all of your money in the stock market may not be the best thing.
Oh, positively. It's the worst thing you could possibly do. All right. Let's see here if I can find it right quick. Now, don't take my word for it. Go on YouTube. I mean, everyone out there in your listening audience can do this. Go on YouTube and look and type in Tony Robbins, TonyRobins. And watch his YouTube presentation. Now, Tony Robbins is a Wall Street pro. He is a true professional. He deals in Wall Street all the time. And Tony Robbins outright says get out of the stock market. And he tells you why in the course of his YouTube presentation. So if you have trouble believing what the elite have told me, go and watch him. And then if you stay in the stock market, do it at your own risk.
Explain to us what's the devil's messiah.
I was on the phone one day with one of these individuals, and he used an expression that just, I really couldn't understand what he was saying. And, of course, I try to listen to their buzzwords and know what's what. And naturally, being a minister for all of these years, it just fascinated me. He used an expression entitled the devil's messiah. Now, you have to understand where many of these elitists are coming from, not all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand that many of them are a part of the occult. They have their God, but it's not the God of the Bible. It's the prince of the power of this air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, is the way that the Bible puts it, and we know it as none other than Lucifer. And many of them play around with the occult. And he used the expression devil's messiah. Now, I explained this in length over about a 20-minute presentation in my DVDs because I thought the American people needed to know it. And so I asked him, I said, what is this? He said, well, Chaplain, in order for us to bring in our new world order, we had to remove the God that made America great. And he went on to explain to me what they did in order to demoralize this nation. All this has gone on for, this didn't just happen last year. I mean, this has gone on for years and years and years. You heard me make the statement earlier that Hollywood is their perversion. They have literally perverted this country through Hollywood and through all of the wickedness that's shown and the mind manipulation that's there. And then, of course, the national media is their mouthpiece. And he went on to explain to me what they've done to the schools of America. Yes. They had to take the Bible out. They had to take prayer out. And they had to make evolution a god. After all, if you teach a child that he's nothing but an evolutionized ape, then that child has a right to act like an ape. And that's exactly what they wanted. They wanted to demoralize America because they could not bring in that new world order unless they had brought America, they had destroyed America's God and brought America to the position that it is right now. They did it through our schools, public schools. They did it through our churches. Yes, a part of this devil's messiah is the 501c3 organizational status, which churches were required to take back to about 1966 and 67, and they pulled them into a trap. And I warned the churches back in those days not to take part in it. But every church today is required to be a 501c3 organizational status. They are not allowed to say certain things from the pulpit anymore. And if they do, the IRS can come in and pull their nonprofit corporation status. I mean, the whole trap of what they did to demoralize and to destroy and to take away the God that made America great in order to bring in their new world order. And when he used the expression devil's messiah, he was not talking about the Antichrist that the Bible says will come one day. He's rather talking about the methodology that they have used in order to demoralize this nation to bring us to where we are today so they could bring in their new world order.
Wow, that's amazing. You gave a couple of suggestions about what people needed to do to prepare themselves for what was coming. And I was very surprised that the first thing you said was to set your spiritual house in order. And what did you say after that?
Well, I urge people that, you know, we can make all the physical preparation in the world, but if we're not right with the Lord, our house will be sitting on sinking sand. And storms wash sand away, but it won't wash a rock away. And I urge people that they positively must trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, know that their spiritual house is set in order, that they positively must get out on their knees and do what God's Word says and seek their soul's salvation and know where they stand with the Lord. even before you take any physical preparation whatsoever, you need to take preparation spiritually so that you can stand when all of these things come about, because we've got some very startling events that are going to take place in America between now and the end of 2012. You can be prepared. You can do something about it. The elite have already prepared themselves. A while back, I decided I would do my own personal investigation as to where the elite live. And, Carrie, this you will find very interesting.
I went
to some of my elitist friends, and I found out where they lived. I cannot find a single elitist that their major residence is in a big city. Every single one of them live in the middle of nowhere.
Did y'all hear that?
Their primary residence.
All of them live in the middle of nowhere.
They do. I know a number of them that live out in Alaska. I mean, away from everything. They're now retired. They're not in a big city. And they know what's going to take place, and they don't want to be near the big cities when it happens.
Wow. Oh, boy. That's the scary part. So get your house in order. Move to the country. For anybody that missed the beginning of the show, that's why I'm asking Mr. Williams to repeat that. Get your house in order, your spiritual house in order. Move to the country because you won't want to live in the city when all of this is taking place. What else do they need to do?
Well, you must do what Janet Napolitano said and get 6 months' supply of food and water. Now, you remember that story just a moment ago as I gave it. Now, there's something else that you can verify for yourself. I know that many people are out there in the listening audience right now, and they're saying, oh, my gracious. You've got some wild guy on your program tonight. Now I'm giving you some things that you can prove for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. And I'm going to give you one right now. Now please go and prove this for yourself. You can go on your internet and prove it. You don't have to just take my word. But it's an example of what the elite are doing. A number of us have followed recently what is called insider trading. Now, let me try to explain it briefly. Insiders are corporate heads, CEOs of corporations, big corporations. Many of them are part of the elite. And Wall Street is required by United States law to keep a record of the trading that insiders do on the New York stock market. So this is nothing that's secretive. You can go on your internet and find this for yourself. It's called insider trading. And we began keeping records of this back in September of 2010, last year. And September the 13th through the 17th of last year, there were 400 insiders to one. 400 to one was a ratio of insiders that records were kept on by Wall Street, required by law, wealthy people who sold stock on the New York Stock Exchange. Now, then we come down to October the 4th through the 8th was the next figure we had. I was appalled. There was 1,600 to 1 of insiders. Now, one being the average John Q. public out there on the street that trades through his stock broker. But there were 1,600 insiders to one of the public that sold stock in their own company.
Mm.
Then we came down to November the 15th through the 19th of 2010, and some of us got so scared, we just begged people to listen and to find it out for themselves. On November the 15th through the 19th of 2010, 8,280 to 1 insider trading selling stock from their own companies on the New York Stock Exchange compared to one of John Q. public out on the street.
Wow.
Then it happened. This is the latest figure we have. You can prove it for yourself. I'm begging you to. January 10 through 14 of 2011. I'm going to give you the exact figure as was given by Wall Street. Insiders, January the 10th through the 14th, corporate heads, CEOs, many of them off the elite, January 10 through 14, they sold $163 million worth of their own company's stock, and that compared to one person out on the street. And that week of January 10 through 14 of 2011, not one single insider purchased a stock of any kind. That has never happened in the history of Wall Street. It has never taken place with New York Stock Exchange before, that there was a week when not one single insider bought a single stock that week. They have bailed out.
Wow.
They've gotten out. They've not told the American people to, but they have bailed out of Wall Street.
Now, that's a mouthful. So,
now, I'm
going to
give you the next proof. I want to give you the next proof.
Okay.
And please, you must research this for yourself. Where did the insiders go with their money when they bailed out of Wall Street? I'm going to tell you where they went. And you can go and prove this for yourself on your own computer on the Internet. The United States Mint mints gold and silver. They're required to by the Constitution of the United States of America. And in December of 2010, now please, I'm begging you, go find this out for yourself. Prove it. Just what I'm saying. The United States Mint in November and in December of 2010 sold 2,221,000 ounces of silver. That was an all-time record for the United States Mint. Monthly record. I mean, this was scary. Then, listen to the rest. You ready? I'm going to give you what happened in January.
Yes.
The first 12 days of January, at the very same time that the insiders were bailing out of Wall Street, what were they buying? The first 12 days of January, the United States Mint, please, folks, I hope you're writing these figures down, and go look it up. The first 12 days of January, the United States Mint sold 3,407,000 ounces of silver, bypassing all-time records for even a month, but they sold it in 12 days. Now I'm going to give you the figures for the month of January. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here it is, January 2011. The United States Mint sold 6,400,000 ounces of silver in 1 month's time. Who bought it? Now, Carrie, you answer.
They
bailed out of Wall Street. Where did they go?
The insiders?
Yeah, they went right into gold and silver.
Oh, wow, wow. You're kidding. So the insiders took their money from the stock market and went and put it in gold and silver.
Yes, but yet the Federal Reserve is still telling the American people, oh, everything's perfectly okay. Wall Street's going up. You don't have a thing to worry about. But the insiders, they know better. They've bailed out.
That's almost criminal.
Oh, it is criminal.
It is criminal. That's criminal.
What has happened to us, what the elite have done to us is criminal. They have moved our industry abroad. They've taken away your jobs. Congress has done nothing about it except give you something out of the coffers of the United States government, and the Federal Reserve is bailing out houses all over America because people can't get jobs and afford to pay their house mortgages, and every bit of this was planned 10 and 15 years ago.
So, I mean, what can we do? I mean, seriously, for somebody who's, let's just say somebody has $80,000 out there, they can't take it all and put it in gold and silver. You can't do that. So you need to get the 6 months' supply of food, put some of it in gold and silver. What do you suggest they do with the rest of it? And y'all not going to hold Mr. Williams as responsible. He's just telling y'all what he would do if he had $80,000. So don't go sue him if it doesn't turn out for you. But what would you do?
Well, I think one of the first places, Carrie, that every person listening to your broadcast tonight can go, and something that every single one of them can do, is what the voters did in November. I was so proud of the Americans in November who threw out the old and put in the new. Now, I'm not recommending anything except that you take out those scoundrels that have sold us out. And put in people who will follow the Constitution of the United States of America, get back to honest government, cut government spending, and quit all of this graft and payola that's going on in government. You know, why is it that a person can go in as the president of the United States of America as a millionaire and come out as a multi-billionaire with no more money than what they make from the presidency every year. Now, the common sense tells you that they did not make that off of the salary that they were paid by the United States government while they were in office. It's nothing but payola. They're paid off from beginning to end. It is an atrocity, and I am so proud of the American people for what they did back in November in getting in a House of Representatives that now read the Constitution of the United States of America before the House the very first day, and the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, was thrown out, and the new Speaker of the House has vowed that they will not allow one single bill to come before the House of Representatives in Washington if it is not constitutional. If it doesn't meet every requirement of the Constitution, the House of Representatives doesn't even plan to present it on the floor.
Wow. Now, let's clear up two things for anybody who may have not been familiar with Lindsey Williams' work before tonight. For someone who may think he's just a conspiracy theorist, what is your answer to that?
I positively do not believe in a conspiracy.
Okay.
I am not a conspiratorialist.
Okay.
I am a realist. And I lived with the elite of the world for 3 years' time. I have personally kept in touch with some of these people for 35 years since the building of the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. They give me things that they're doing. They tell me. And I merely tell the American people what they say is happening. And never one time in 35 years have they ever told me anything that did not happen exactly as they said it. Therefore, none of this is a conspiracy. Every bit of this is a planned, orderly method of bringing America to the point that we have been brought to right now by the elitists of the world. Every bit of it was planned by behind closed doors. Nothing catches them by chance. They knew exactly what they were doing. They did not win in this last November election. They definitely were set back a notch. But they have positive plans through the year 2012. And let me say again, they have a timeline. Their timeline is the end of 2012. And by the end of 2012, they intend to bring about a control factor in America that if we don't stop them, your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren will be slaves to the elite unless you take immediate action and stop what these people have planned. You can do it at the voting booth. You can do it by not accepting their plans and taking precautions in your household so that you don't have to suffer through what they're going to bring about in this country. Don't be afraid. And by no means lose sleep over this at night. The reason I tell you these things is so you can make preparation and spare yourself the heartache that most people will have to suffer through all of this.
And someone may say, then why would these so-called elitists trust a pastor or a chaplain with all of this information? You would answer that how?
First of all, much of this information was given to me out of, what should I say, respect for the fact that I gave 3 years of my life to be their chaplain. And it gained an element of respect with them. Many of these people never came in touch with a person like me before. You wouldn't find them in your churches. And they don't listen to your pastors and your preachers. They probably never came in contact with an individual such as myself. Secondly, these people have told me many things that I need to do for my own household. And as a result, they confided in me things that they felt I should do out of their respect that they have for me, and I merely pass them on to you. Again, I think many of the things that they tell me, they know I go on major radio talk shows. They know that I've been on George Norrie, Coast to Coast, 3 hours one night. They know I've been on the Alex Jones Show, which covers the whole nation. They know I go on radio shows all over this land. And keep in mind that one of the facets of the moral code of the elite is that they must tell the world what they're going to do before they do it. And they know that I do get a lot of coverage, and some of the things that they tell me I think that this is a part of their moral code, is to get this information out.
In 60 seconds, what would you say to the people in closing?
Get your spiritual house in order. That is the first thing that you positively must do. When you finish this broadcast, now don't cut the radio off yet, but when you finish this broadcast, you go to God's Word, the Bible. You get down on your knees and make sure that you know that Christ is your Savior and that you're born again. Know where you stand with the Lord. Set your house on a solid rock and the rest of your house. Urge them to get everything right. Then begin to take some definite action in your household in relation to what the elite have passed on to you by way of the things that they have told me. And I would urge you then to begin to take some physical action and do those things that need to be done. Janet Napolitano put it the best when she said, get 6 months of food and water in your house. And I would beg you to do this, because a year from now you may not be able to afford the food that your house needs because of what they're going to do to the dollar. Now, when you have taken certain action, then you can sleep well at night and you have nothing to worry about. And when these things are done, and I would urge you, now, there again, I am not trying to sell you a product. In fact, I intentionally do not copyright my materials, my DVDs. I have 6 of them, 8 hours of DVD viewing, and I just finished producing 2 CDs. I do not copyright them. And maybe you can find, I know, maybe you say, well, Pastor Williams, I don't have enough money to even purchase them. No problem. Go find someone that has them and copy them and give them out to every friend and neighbor you can so that they will know what the intentions of the elite are and why they're doing this. So please give our toll-free number a call or go find someone that has these CDs and DVDs and copy them. Our toll-free number again.
Give them the number and the website again.
888-799-6111, or you can go to, on the web, prophecyclub.com, prophecyclub.com.
Give it to them one more time.
The toll-free number, we have operators standing by right now if you wish to call, 888-799-6111. 111, or on the web, go to prophecyclub.com, prophecyclub.com, or if you can't purchase the materials, go find someone who has them. They are not copywritten. Copy them and give them to every person you can.
Wow. Well, we'd like to say thank you to Lindsay Williams for being our guest tonight. I really enjoyed the show, and I hope the audience did as well. A reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or our host. Tomorrow, join us at 3 p.m. As we do an exclusive interview with the Scott sisters. Jamie and Gladys Scott will be our guest tomorrow at 3 p.m. On behalf of AJ and myself, I'd like to say thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Good night.